Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Fedra Ekris.
Hello, everybody.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. Fedra's wearing green. Are you wearing green, Jack?
Me? No.
The luck of the Irish.
I'm not, and no one can pinch me from where I am.
It has the Hulk on, but that's as green as it gets.
Oh, that's the Hulk is green. That counts.
There
you go. Yeah. So I watched The Quiet Man. Was that a staple in your house, Jack?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, I used to watch it every year for St. Patrick's Day. What about you, Fedra?
No, I never heard of it.
You never heard of The Quiet Man with John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara, Victor McLaughlin?
No. Ooh, tell me.
Oh, no, it's just about this American. He goes over to Ireland. He goes over, it's John Wayne. And he falls in love with this girl, and they're very backwards over there, where she has to get permission from the brother, and he has to get the dowry from the brother, or else he can't marry her, or they can't have sex or something like that. But he doesn't fight because he has a dark past where he was a boxer and he killed some guy. So everyone thinks he's chicken, and then they have a big fight at the end. But what's funny is I'm watching this, and Woke Nation would lose their mind if they saw this.
I'm sure.
Like, Jack, do you remember? Like, he used to smack the hell out of that girl. Well, she deserved. Well, I shouldn't say that. She was nasty. All right.
She was not a prize. But then the same thing, like Gone with the Wind. I don't know why anybody would want Scarlett O'Hara. She was just horrible. And so was Maureen O'Hara.
I don't know. If I had a chance, I'd probably pick Scarlett because Maureen O'Hara, she fought back. I mean, or she would start it. Like, she'd start swinging. I hate to say it, that turned me off to Irish women when I'd seen that, because she is nasty. She's very attractive, but damn, if she doesn't shut up, throwing potatoes at you and everything. But yeah, I think that this would be the ultimate punishment for anybody from Woke Nation if they had to see that. Because, like, at one point, she runs away from him because she's ashamed of him because he won't fight. She's ashamed of her husband. So he collects her at the train and he drags her a couple of miles to her brother to throw in front of the brother and say, "The deal's off." And they fight. It's like a superhero fight. It's like Captain America versus the Hulk. And it's one of the best fights in cinema history. You definitely should check that out.
It goes all through town.
Yeah, it goes all through town. It's got the whole town, the whole village watching the fight. But I tell you, if they were to make this now, I'm surprised Disney hasn't decided to make a remake. They'd probably cast like The Rock as John Wayne. And he'd be like, "Finally, The Rock has come back to Ireland. When I was a wee lad, my mother used to tell me."
Stop.
Yeah. And then, maybe they would have Scarlett Johansson as the Maureen O'Hara part. And Jack Black maybe as the brother. And they'd have a pillow fight.
Yes, because we all want to see a Hulk versus Jack Black fight.
Well, it's just the way society is now. He's very popular. Who is that guy? Josh Gad? Maybe they'd have him. Again, it wouldn't be a fist fight. It'd be a pillow fight. And probably Scarlett Johansson would kick everybody's ass, at some point. But if you haven't seen it, watch it. It's by the time you hear this, St. Patrick's Day is over. Wait for next St. Patrick's Day and check it out. John Wayne. I think that's his best movie, personally. Some of his westerns. All right. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some news. We're also going to talk about the Ms. Marvel trailer. The Boys trailer, season 3, and Fedra will review The Batman, and we will also have our next round. I guess this is round 3 for Marvel Movie Madness. So I guess we'll start with Fedra. She has seen The Batman, and Jack, you still have not seen The Batman?
No, I still have not gotten to the movies lately.
Okay, well, it's long, All right, Fedra, so what'd you think?
Well, let me just ask, out of respect to Jack, are you okay about spoilers?
Go for it. Okay. By the time I get to see it.
You might not ever see it.
Okay. Yeah. I might not ever see it. So who knows?
Yeah, he can get hit. He can get hit by a bus and die, and then he'll be like, "Oh, thank God, Fedra spoiled me on the Batman."
I'll get to the pearly gates, and Saint Peter will say, "What do you mean you didn't know the Riddler was such and such?" You know, like, I don't know.
So I will say that out of rating the entire thing, and I'm being very lenient here, not my usual way, I would say a high 6. And the reason being is because as far as the writing and showing a different aspect of Batman, I would say they did a good job at being semi-creative. Okay. Now, Robert Pattinson cannot do Bruce Wayne. He did a terrible job, in my opinion. He just cannot balance the aspects of the two. And we've seen that in all of the Batman films. There's just some actors that did a great job at doing both, or could play one side or the other side. Now, as far as being the dark side of Batman, which when I saw this film, please correct me if I get the writer wrong, but I believe this is Frank Miller. Is that correct? Who did?
Well, I don't know if he. Well, he did Year One, which I guess you can kind of say this is based a little bit on it. But I think he's been around for a while. But I don't think he had anything to do with the writing of this movie.
Well, I mean, in the sense that when I read, you know, Sin City, and I read Hush, and I read the holiday season of, you know, Batman, it was very dark. Like, it was a very dark sense.
Oh, was it the
Batman.
Long Halloween? The Long Halloween? Yeah. I didn't read that one. I never read that one. Oh, did you ever read that, Jack?
So good.
No, I mean, because I know they've released a collected edition of it, but I remember when it was coming out, it was kind of sporadic. Like, it didn't follow like the typical monthly schedule where you could pick it up. It was like,
correct. Yeah.
If you saw it, you saw it, you bought it, but you might miss an issue. And
well, it's in trade paperback form now.
Well, now it is. But I remember when it came out and it sounded like an interesting concept, but the fact that I couldn't get the issues regularly put me off it. And I never went back to pursue it.
Okay.
So again, for me, and remember, I'm one of those who really love the 90s animated series. So that's the kind of Batman that I'm looking for. Kind of that happy medium of like the dark side of it, but showing also the professionalism of Bruce Wayne. And so for me, this felt just very, very dark. So if that was the goal, they nailed it. Colin Farrell blew me away. I already knew who he was playing, but man, when I saw him on screen, he was just not recognizable. He really immersed himself in this really disgusting, selfish mafioso. And I was sad that he didn't really play as big of a part as I thought he was going to be. Because I really liked the storyline in, I believe, Batman Returns, when the Penguin is obsessed about being the mayor and doing whatever it takes to be the mayor of Gotham. Like, I really liked that concept. That's something that realistically we could see someone becoming, thinking that they're going to do a good thing when they're actually very wrong for the position. So that I was kind of sad to see that it was just mafia. I was like, okay, it's kind of weak, you know. Catwoman, you know, a lot of it, I agreed with Joe. There were certain scenes in fighting that she really kicked it, but there were some parts where I'm like, come on now. That's not believable. I'm sorry. And I didn't really like that they were reliving certain things again, where it was very similar to Spider-Man. It's like, seriously, do we have to see Ben die once again? It was like, seriously, do I need to see all the freaking cats in her apartment and her drinking milk again? Really? Not necessary.
I was okay with that. That was short.
It was short, but I just was just like, no, like, let's see something different of Catwoman. And it seems like they can't. They just can't. Then they like, for me personally, they were showcasing like her nails all the time. Like, this is such a big fad. And I'm just like, okay, way to create a fashion point here. Like, lame. That's just me. With Pattinson, I really liked his acting of showing the frustration within Batman, this depressing side, this anger side, this identifying of vengeance and what does it mean to be vengeance. And the entire scope of this, it was like, well, what is he being really vengeful for? Is it for himself? Is it for Gotham? Is it for his parents? Is it this legacy? Like, I really like that they actually opened that up a little bit. and kind of turning it in the end, but I really don't like that they made him so dark that toward the end of it, now he's going toward justice. It was like the very last second of this film, and it was like, what? Like, I expect this to be more in the film. The Riddler, I really like that actor. He does a great job of being a creepy serial killer or someone with heavy doses of mental illness and has that creepy vibe. I mean, he's excellent at it. When I saw him, to me, it was believable. I loved the plan sequence that he had, and I loved that they showed that he was so crazy that he almost thought that Batman would join him. I loved that idea. I loved the ending with the possibility of his cellmate being Two-Face or possibly the Joker. I really didn't know because
that was the guy from Eternals, the weirdo one that controlled people's minds. Remember I sent that picture to you guys and I said, guess who he is?
Oh, yeah. So that was difficult for me to see in that very brief scene. But okay, that's interesting. But I mean, are they just going to revamp another Joker and Batman? Like, the other thing I didn't like very much was that in this film, first time that I've ever seen, Batman or Bruce Wayne, I should say Bruce Wayne, actually like disrespects Alfred. And I've never seen that in any other film. I've always seen Bruce Wayne like actually respect and value Alfred. And in several scenes, he just like completely like just boshes him. And it's just like,
yeah, you're right.
Like, hey, you know what? Like, that's your family. Like, that's the only family that you have. And maybe I'm just more traditional that I see Alfred as his pillar of sanity, his pillar of family, his pillar of a respectful and wise elder. And in this one, it was just like, yeah, you're not my family, so I don't need to listen to you at all. And it's just like, whoa, that's not Bruce Wayne. And that's not Batman. No, sorry. So that was really, I would cut that whole thing. I would revamp that whole thing.
Well, he sucked as Alfred, you know?
Yes, he did. He's agree
so overrated.
With that. And he is a good actor, but
he's good as Gollum. But
that's not his role. They needed someone else. And I think this was also very long. Like, this should have been narrowed down to at least 2 hours. There was just at least for the last 45 minutes, I was just like, when is this ending? So.
Well, that's kind of the killer on me because it's a long movie. And because of that, the showing times are kind of staggered that it doesn't work either. You know, I have to go earlier than I would normally go to the movies, or I have to go late and I'll probably end up falling asleep.
I mean, the detective scenes were awesome. I loved every second of it. But when we were walking out, I mean, Julian said it best. He's like, this was the longest detective film ever. Yeah. I agree. I 100% agree. So,
that's a good
I mean,
point.
So thank God, you know, I'm a fan of that. So it wasn't like I wasn't dying. But, you know, me watching this again, I would probably have to watch it in segments because I'm not going to devote another 3 hours to it.
Yeah, like I said, I'd probably fast forward some scenes. Like, I'd probably just want to see the Batman stuff. And again, I would fast forward a lot.
What did you think about the costume?
It was okay on the screen because, you know, he was kind of moving. And it's not like we saw how we saw close-ups and pictures. But I wasn't a fan when I saw the costume in print. I didn't like his ears. They just didn't look like Batman's ears should look. And I didn't like that it had a collar. And I didn't like the Bat emblem that it had guns, which they never addressed that in the movie, that it was a gun split in half. Apparently, it was Joe Chill's gun. He split it in half and made a bat symbol out of it. But it was kind of cool that he used it as a batarang.
Yes, I agree.
But... yeah, you know what? But I'm going to give a shout out to Daniel because we brought this up after we did the round table. What did you think of that flight suit?
Yeah. No, I just, no. It's not, no. I think it was ridiculous.
This was like a point when they're trying to be realistic where it just doesn't work. Like, I think I told you that like in Batman Returns, when he flips open the wings and, you know, he flies over Gotham City, it's like, well, it might not be realistic, but it looks pretty damn cool. If there was an action figure, I'd buy that. If this thing was an action figure that Batman had on, I wouldn't buy it. You know what it looks like, Jack? It looks like, did you ever see like when you were a kid and you were in a sleeping bag and then you kind of zipped it up to the top and you can just see your eyes out of it and you get stuck and you can't get out of it. That's kind of what it looked like. I would
describe it worse. I would describe it as this big black garbage bag that just like inflates and opens up and he's just like hovering over New York like this big blob. It's like, this is pointless. And then magically the car is there and then there, oh, that's stupid scene where they're both together with their motorcycles. Like, oh, it's so cool. Catwoman's got a motorcycle. He's got a motorcycle. It's like, give me a break. Really? Like, just cheesy.
I think this was the wrong director for the movie because he made a lot of decisions for this movie, too. And he did the Planet of the Apes movies before this, the one with Andy Serkis. Mm-hmm. And
I liked those movies, though.
They were okay. I really wouldn't watch them again, but they weren't like genius works of genius where it's like, oh, this guy needs to do Batman. I wouldn't have hired him. It's like, okay, you did your Planet of the Apes movies. They weren't horrible, but good luck finding another movie to direct because I would not have given him a franchise like Batman. And it shows. I don't think he's a very good director, especially that he had to hire his buddy Andy Serkis, who played Caesar in those movies. It's like, come on, dude. You know, it's like, yeah, I know you got friends and everything, but you could have auditioned other actors to play I can't think of his name now. Alfred. Instead, yeah. They ended up with Andy Serkis, and he wasn't very good. But you know what, Fedra? And I'd said this before. I won't say that the movie sucks. You know, it's a movie, but it's too long. You know, see it, see what you think for yourself. But it's just not a fun Batman movie. And I would rank it fairly low where I hate when people or the press gets this whole brand new car kind of smell thing where everybody's saying it's the best Batman movie ever made. Maybe The Dark Knight is better than it, but it's the second best. And I'm like, no, 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 no. It's not. You know, like, and Jack always says, a superhero movie still has to be fun. And this just wasn't fun. I can't see a kid.
Wait, you're quoting me. You never quote me. You're saying how wrong I am.
No, we say some good things every now and then, you know. But I can't see a kid running out to the toy store and wanting to buy action figures from this movie. if that's
this is a really dark film. I wouldn't even say a kid should see it.
Oh yeah, the Riddler was brutal. You know, he was kind of like the Zodiac killer. He was like a serial killer, and I think it would be pretty scary for a lot of kids to see that. But Batman Returns was scary too. The Penguin was scary as crap. I mean, I was an adult when I was seeing that, and I was like, this is dark, you know? But yeah, you know what's funny, Fedra, too, is I think we all gave it sixes. And I think it was Tom. He gave it a six, and he really liked it. Daniel and I, we weren't crazy about it, and we gave it a six. So our idea of a six was completely different from... I guess he had high expectations, you know, like, or his grading level is a lot stricter. For something to be 10, it has to be perfect. That's what I'm assuming. If he gave it a six and we gave it a six and we didn't like it and he loved it. So.
Well, I definitely have high expectations of Batman for sure. I've seen every single one and I love, you know, a lot of them. Obviously, I haven't seen the Batman and Robin since it came out. I mean, it was just like, nope. But I would say also, and not to, I'm not using this as an excuse. I think it's a valid point, and we've said this about other films that have come out in these past 2 years, that I think all of these restrictions and whatever, you know, in the industry they've had to go over with these films, I think that also played a part, because if they're trying to compare this with Dark Knight, I mean, that was a hell of a cast, hell of a budget. And definitely a different time. So I will give them that just for the sake of the entire crew and not just, you know, throw this under the rug and just blame the director. But I will say that this is definitely having an effect on who they're choosing as far as this cast, because this cast was very weak, in my opinion. I mean, Colin Farrell and the guy who plays the head mafia guy, I mean, those two are phenomenal actors, but everyone else around them were, you know, mediocre. I'm sorry. I have not seen Robert Pattinson do anything remotely ever close to even being nominated for an Academy Award. So when it comes to acting, I'm confident to say that they are mediocre, where, you know, the other two have been in phenomenal films that are very complicated characters. So, you know, you can't put, you know, like you've said this actually, Joe, in different films, where you can't put two awesome, you know, high rating actors, or even, you know, the guy who played Alfred in this, so I guess he'll be the third, and then just put people around him and then expect this to be a great film.
Yeah. I just looked at the box office as of Thursday night. It's made $500 million globally, which I think is insane. I think part of it is people are dying to see movies again.
It's Batman.
Yeah. But again, look at Spider-Man No Way Home. That made almost $2 billion. And that's on digital now. I watched some of that recently, and I gotta say, it's not a good movie. I know a lot of people liked it, but watch it again. And I think, you know, if you like it, that's good. But I just think that if it's not a good story, I think the acting is bad. I think all the villains are bad. I think all the actors are bad in this movie. That's all I have to say.
Even Colin Farrell?
No. I'm talking about No Way Home.
Oh, and No Way Home.
Okay. Which I liked. I still stand by it.
I know a lot of people like it, but, you know, the more I watched Spider-Man No Way Home, I guess Tom Holland's not that bad, but I don't know. I just don't like it. But what was I going to say? You know, Fedra, I didn't like Colin Farrell. I know a lot of people did. And they're giving him his own HBO Max series to play the Penguin, which I don't think he deserves. To me, you know, he was kind of like Tony Soprano or somebody from Goodfellas or The Godfather. He wasn't the Penguin at all. And again, you know, he's a decent actor and everything, but I just think that the role that they keep saying he's overrated. Everybody says, like, well, I think the Oscar, well, this came out. When did this come out? It came out this month, right? Yeah, so it's not eligible for Oscars, but.
No, it came on the 4th.
I'm sure some fanboys are like, why was he nominated? Why wasn't Zoe Kravitz nominated? What about Robert Pattinson? He's the best Batman ever. Speaking of, so after seeing this, who do you think is your favorite Batman?
Oh, me?
Yeah, you, Fedra. You've seen them all.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not popular belief, but I still think Christian Bale was able to play both very well, in my opinion. Under him, I would then go toward the 90s, which is Val Kilmer and Michael Keaton. I think both of them played Batman extremely well, in my opinion. They did it in different ways, but I think they both conveyed both sides very interesting, both showed that mysterious side of Batman, but also conveyed that professionalism of Bruce Wayne. But Christian Bale was able to really magnify both sides. I don't know how he did it, but, you know, he showed the glamour and the side of Bruce Wayne that he has to fake every second, and how the dream life of Bruce Wayne is just within reach, but being Batman always pulls him back. And he's just haunted by his family and wanting to seek justice and fight for Gotham.
I wouldn't say that's an unpopular pick. He's up there for me for sure. What about you, Jack? I mean, I know you haven't seen this one, but who would you say your favorite Batman is?
I would say the animated series.
I knew you were going to say
Kevin
that.
Conroy, followed by Will Arnett.
You got to be joking with Will Arnett, though. I mean, it was a fun movie.
Batman, I thought was.
But do you think he represents what Batman is? I mean, you know, not only Batman but Bruce Wayne.
He represents Batman from the Golden Age. I feel. I think that's your kinder, gentler, goofier Batman.
I would have to say for me, it's Michael Keaton, just because he's, you know, my Batman, basically, you know, what I kind of grew up with. I guess I saw Adam West's Batman before him, but still, he was the cool Batman. But I will say, you know, I've aged a little bit, and I'm more okay with Ben Affleck's Batman, just because he's got the physicality. Like, I love when he's working out in Batman v Superman as he's about to fight Superman. You know, the suit was pretty kick-ass. His armored Batman suit was pretty cool. He had some cool things. The Batmobile, the Batwing, they all look pretty good. I just wasn't crazy. He was just too noticeable for me as Bruce Wayne. But I loved the physicality of that Batman and the bulkiness, and that he was an older Batman. It's, you know, we didn't get this whole thing, this origin story all over again. He was a seasoned Batman. Those are my favorite superheroes. I don't want to see Captain America, Spider-Man when they just become Captain America or Spider-Man. I want to see them as they've been those heroes for a while, you know?
Yeah, I you have something going there though. I mean, because Ben Affleck catches a lot of flack. But I thought he was a pretty good Batman. It's just what he got to do as Batman. Because I thought, same thing. I thought he looked good in the suit. I liked his Superman fighting suit. It's just, there was so much that was just wrong with that movie. But like, some of the designs were cool, and I liked him. I thought he pulled off a good Bruce Wayne. But like you said, maybe an older Bruce Wayne who's, you know, he has a presence. Like, he walks into the room and just kind of owns the room as Bruce Wayne. That's how I thought. Like, when he meets Clark Kent, Henry Cavill, you know, even not knowing he's Superman, you know, he kind of treats Henry Cavill sort of like, you know, oh, that's okay, kid. You know, you've got that young passion and fire in you. That's okay. You know, you like that super guy flying around. It's kind of condescending the way an old rich guy would be towards a younger person. And I thought he had good chemistry with Gal Gadot as well. Like, I bought that these two, you know, are superheroes and they just see each other as equals with respect. You know, when all is said and done, you know, you can buy that these two could be friends and respect each other. Yeah. So I thought Ben Affleck could have been good. I probably really would have enjoyed a Ben Affleck Batman movie. It was done by someone other than Zack Snyder.
I agree. You know, so like I said, if I'd never seen a Ben Affleck movie before, I probably would have appreciated him more as Bruce Wayne. But since I have, and I, you know, that was my only problem with it. Anyway, enough about the Batman. Let's get into the news, people. So the Ms. Marvel trailer came out this week, and I'm sure you guys have a lot of thoughts on it. So we'll go with Jack. What'd you think about it?
I am somewhat unimpressed with it. I can say, you know what? I really don't have much interest at all in watching this show. Whereas Moon Knight, I want to see it. I'm kind of curious. I hear we're going to get a Werewolf by Night Halloween special or something weird like that.
What, with Moon Knight?
Well, supposedly the Werewolf by Night shows up in Moon Knight as well.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I didn't follow it.
But I'm, like I said, I'm looking forward to that show. But Ms. Marvel really kind of just fell flat on me. And you know what it is? In the comics, Ms. Marvel she may be a kind of naive young girl, but she's a teenager. This trailer, it looks like instead of being like high schoolers, like Peter Parker or something like that, it almost looks like they're in like grammar school, like seventh or eighth grade. It looks like Marvel's doing, hey, here's a little kid who gets to be a superhero versus a teenager who's, you know, earnestly trying to go out there and do good. It just doesn't look good to me. I may just not be the target audience for it, but I think I'm going to skip this one.
All right. Well, you're going to be very quiet when we talk about it.
Well, I don't want to say some of the other stuff we talked about it. So
No, I'm saying when it starts airing, I'm sure we're going to have to talk about it. What about you, Fedra?
I mean, I did feel like it was a little flat as well, but I liked that it was brighter. It was lighter. It's showing, you know, a new realm of an audience. I do see this more as preteen and not a full teenager. To me, she looks very young. So that'll be interesting. But then again, like, I feel like the guy that she has a crush on looks older than her, you know? So I don't know. I do like the idea of showing, you know, new powers and, you know, introducing a new, you know, superhero. but it also didn't really look very appealing. This looked like this was for a younger audience than myself. But I will give it a chance, of course, because we're going to talk about it. But I just got to admit, it looked like this was for preteens.
Go ahead, Jack. Sorry.
This may be like What If, where Joe's going to make me watch it, and then I'm going to get
progressively watch the first episode
more and more disenchanted.
Yeah, like I am with Superman and Lois. Well, just at least watch the first episode when it comes out. You don't have to watch the other ones. I would say that this was kind of what I expected it to be like. I didn't think it was bad. I know a lot of people really hate it. I don't hate it. And to be honest with you, Jack, like you were saying, between Moon Knight and this, I think I would rather see this just because it's a little lighter. I think Moon Knight's going to be very dark. And I think Daredevil just drained the darkness from me or put too much in me. And I have a feeling it's going to be very similar to Daredevil Moon Knight, especially with the whole multiple personality aspect that they'll be pushing. But this one, you know, kind of looks like little girl, you know, teenage girl that's a huge fan of superheroes, all of a sudden has powers, and, you know, she loves being a superhero. The sad part about this, which always annoys me, is that they took her story and they applied it to Spider-Man Homecoming, where Spider-Man is now like that in the MCU, where he's like this huge superhero fan and he gushes over the superheroes that he meets and all that. And the Spider-Man in the comic books was never like that. He was on par with those superheroes. So I feel bad for this Miss Marvel, because I feel like when people watch that, they're going to compare her to Spider-Man and say, oh, well, Spider-Man did it first. Same thing like with, he stole from Miles Morales, you know, with Gonky, you know, and Ned and all that. I don't like when they do crap like that. And anyway, I think Jack is right that this probably is skewed more for a younger audience. But I'm still going to give it a chance. I hope what they do, they're definitely going to explore, well, we'll see a lot of the Muslim faith. And there's a lot of people out there, including myself, that really aren't too familiar with the Muslim faith. But I think it's good to show people that, you know, in the end, we're all the same. And I think, you know, I want to see her or showcase like where she goes through the same problems that everybody goes through, or that religion does. Because, like, again, I'm not Muslim, and, you know, there are different religions out there. I would like to see it like where people will say, well, you know, they're just like us, you know, it's like, all right, they're different. But, you know, I always think that that's good if they can push that across. What I don't want to see is I don't want to make it them seem like the enemy is anyone who's not Muslim. And I have a feeling that they're going to do that just because it just Disney's so woke. That they're going to so push the point that the Muslim community is so good that they're going to make everybody else bad. And I hope they don't do that. There's good and bad in every religion, every faith, every race. You know, you just can't, you know, elevate one race, one group, one gender or something like that, and then make one particular race or gender or whatever to be a bad person. And I just hope we don't see that. And I think I was telling you guys in the email I sent that I would like to see, well, maybe she has a, you know, someone in her family, like a cousin or a friend that's of the Muslim faith that is a bad person, you know, because that happens in real life. Like I know Jack may be more familiar with it than Fedra, but I think they were planning this big terrorist attack in Brooklyn somewhere, or they were masterminding it there. And someone in the community reported it to the FBI because he knew that a lot of innocent people were going to die. And that person was a hero for doing that. And I want to see something like that, you know, like where you see that these people that after 9/11, you know, I know a lot of people had negative thoughts or views of what the Muslim faith was, but I want people to kind of see that not all of them are like that, but not all of them are angels too, that they're Americans, just like all of us are, you know, like we're all Americans and we should all be working together against bad people, you know, whoever they be.
Yeah, but I'd be really surprised if Disney would make that stand.
No, they won't, because like I said, they're going to do what I said they're going to do. It's basically everybody's like, you know, it's just sick storytelling. I have a feeling that's what it's going to be. I told you my biggest problem with the character of Miss Marvel, why I never really read her comic. Like Taylor was always pushing me to read it. And it's like, oh, she's great. She's the best superhero, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, she stretches. I don't like stretchy superheroes. Like if Mr. Fantastic was to have his own comic book, wouldn't buy it. Plastic Man, I think he sucks. I think he ruins everything that he's in whenever they do like a get together or Justice League or something like that, a team up. I don't like stretchy powers. I do like Elastic Girl though. But again, like that was an homage to the Fantastic Four. And she also grows. She's a giant. You know, she could be a giant if she wants to. It's the dumbest, stupid superpowers. And I always didn't like that. I was like, if you're going to have your first like Muslim American superhero, give her some good powers, you know? I don't know why they would call her Miss Marvel when she does not have any of the powers that Miss Marvel has, really. But what they're doing with this is they are changing her powers. It seems like she's going to be more like Green Lantern and kind of make constructs. Maybe the bracelet is her power. I don't know if I like that either. I don't like the whole thing that what happens if she loses her bracelet and she's powerless. I'd rather her have her powers internally. And maybe she will, but it looks like it's the bracelet that kind of gives her powers. I will say the one negative that stuck out to me, and I know people don't like to hear this, she's too fat. Miss Marvel in the comic books was never drawn like that, and I don't know why they did something like that. I like when the character looks exactly like the comic book, and when we first saw pictures of her, she did, but I don't know what happened. You know, maybe she put on weight before filming, you know, due to COVID or something, but I wouldn't be surprised if Disney encouraged her. And it's like, have a couple of more donuts, you know, because we want to show that everybody, you know, not superheroes really shouldn't, you know, have this perfect body. We want people to embrace all body types. And, I don't want anybody to be negative towards anybody that's overweight. I mean, I am. I think we all struggle with our weights, but I don't think it should be something that should be embraced like what society does, because it's not healthy. People lose, you know, they lose weight and they diet and they work out because they want to live longer. They want to feel better. You know, like when they walk up a couple of flights of stairs, they want to feel like they can do it and not be on the verge of a heart attack. I will say too that a lot of these superheroes that we see on the screen and wrestlers and weightlifters and all that, they're not real. I mean, they're like steroids. I mean, and they're not really healthy. You don't know how long they're going to live, like after all the steroids that they did, but it still kind of should. Like when I see Thor and he's in perfect shape, or if I see Batman or I see Captain America and they look incredible on the screen, it gives me inspiration. It's like, well, I can go out running and maybe I can lose a few pounds, maybe eventually get a 6-pack ab. Never happened yet, you know, but at least build up my arms, my chest, and feel good about myself. I don't have to be them, but I can look at a picture that I was at like 6 months before I saw Captain America. And then after I was influenced to go out and work out and say, I may not look like him, but I don't look like that other guy in the picture either. So I did see some progress. I think it's helpful to aspire to having, you know, the idea of having a good body and a healthy life. And I don't like this whole thing of like embracing superheroes that are overweight.
Out of shape.
Yeah, unless you're like the Thing, maybe. But he's not even, I wouldn't say he's overweight. But is there any overweight superheroes?
The problem with the Thing is he, by design, I think it was John Byrne who said it, the Thing should be shaped like a starfish. He's not supposed to have natural human anatomy. He's supposed to look different because he's a Thing. He's not Rock Man. He's a Thing. He should look different, but.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my thoughts on that and our thoughts on that. All right, let's get to the next one. So The Boys season 3 trailer had premiered this week too. And we've all are big fans of The Boys. So Fedra, what'd you think of this trailer?
I think it was great. I am very much looking forward to it. I've been waiting for a while. It was nice to see everyone. It looked really great edits of like showcasing so many of the characters and seeing what may happen. I'm just going to be vague for now because there was a lot.
Please do.
There was a lot in the trailer and it left me thinking of potential things. So if what I think is true, what's going to happen in the next season, I think it's going to be very exciting. And that's what I've been waiting for.
Oh, cool. What about you, Jack?
I have to say I haven't watched the trailer because I want to get through that animated shorts, Despicable.
Did that come out yet?
I thought it did.
I don't think it did.
Because I've seen pictures of it and stuff on IO9, but I've been dodging the articles because that's supposed to be the gap between the last season and this one. And I don't want to see the trailer before I get to see that because I don't want it. I like don't want anything spoiled. You know what I mean?
I don't think you would have gotten anything spoiled, but.
You know, but yeah, I'd like to see that because, I mean, like I said, I've seen still pictures online of it, you know, because whenever they have an article, you know, they have to put a picture up. But yeah, I haven't watched it because I don't want anything to be spoiled because The Boys is such a crazy, I don't want to say something bad and make Joe Hatt have to edit it.
Thank you.
But it is such a bat blank crazy show that I don't want anything spoiled because you never know what's going to happen on that show.
Yep. That's true.
Yeah, I'll say one thing about The Boys that I really like is it's consistently good. They sometimes might have episodes that are better than other ones, but they're usually pretty good. And the acting is very good. The writing is very good. But I got to tell you, I forgot what happened in season 2. So I'm going to ask you guys. So Billy Butcher has now got superpowers?
Possibly, yes.
Well, you think it might be a dream?
I mean, like Jack just said, you don't know. It's only just implying that.
But did he have it in season 2? At the end, did something happen? I forget. I would. Jack,
something did happen. Yes.
All right.
I remember him going to work for that senator. You know, that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was actually looking to get a real job to make something of himself. And of course, he goes to work for her, who's secretly a super.
No, wait. Was that Billy Butcher or was that Huey?
Oh, Butcher? I forget. Butcher just sort of like took off.
No, I was talking about Billy Butcher. No, I think it was that his name, Huey? Yeah, Huey. No,
Huey Billy Butcher went and started working for the senator.
But Carl Urban's character, you know, Billy Butcher, I'll just say in the trailer, seems like he's superpowered now. Do you recall him having superpowers in the season 2?
No, but he didn't. But I remember from glancing through the comic, which I found kind of disturbing. Like they do eventually get a hold of the serum and give themselves power. So I think that's what we're going to see.
Oh yeah, that's right. But wasn't it like temporary too?
Yeah, it was temporary. It didn't last long, but you know, it lasted long enough.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I really liked Homelander. I thought he was such a great villain. Everybody was good in there. My favorite
character, Anna Cash, was terrific as what was her name?
I know you're talking about. I can't think of her name.
The one who turned out to be like the Nazi who lived forever.
Yeah, no, she was good. Sorry, I can't remember her name.
She was so good at, because same thing. She really plays that bad girl very well.
I like Kimiko, who is the Asian girl.
Liberty.
Well, she was Liberty, yes. but she was somebody else when she was on the team.
Stormfront,
yes.
Yeah, Stormfront. Yeah, she was good.
Yeah, and the girl, you like the girl, she reminds me of like the girl Wolverine.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like Starlight, honestly. I would totally be her, honestly. Like, I could totally see a part of myself as that kind of superhero. Like, being so, like, star-eyed and want to be a part of them and then realize what they are. And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to take y'all out.
No, I like Starlight, too. I think she's very cute, too. And Maeve, she made it to the end, too, right? Didn't, like, the women kind of take over and kind of give a backseat to Homelander at the end?
Mm-hmm. I didn't think they took over. It's more like they're like, you know, enough of this. You know, they put their foot down. I don't think they took over, but they're like, you're not going to bully us anymore.
The characters I didn't like in this, I don't like the main character, Huey. Maybe I'm wrong with that one. I might be Kurt Russell's kid. I'm probably wrong. And the Deep. I just didn't like the Deep.
I don't like the Deep either.
But the Deep is the creep, and now he's trying to reform and be better, but he's still a creep.
Yep.
There's no way to get around it. Like, dude, you're just
an A-Train. He is such a superficial sellout.
Oh yeah, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the guy who plays A-Train's good though.
Oh, no, yeah, I just mean the character.
Yeah, I guess, well, me too. I'm sure that the guy who plays the Deep is just playing a character. I just don't like the character. But they introduced Soldier Boy in the trailer, too, who's like the Captain America of the group. He's a new character. But I will say, I'm definitely looking forward to this over Moon Knight and Miss Marvel and Obi-Wan.
Here's hoping they have Invincible Season 2 come out soon.
Yeah, I'm sure they will too. I'm going to skip this Obi-Wan story and I'll just mention this last story. So the Parents Television and Media Council lashed out at Disney Plus for including TV MA shows on Disney Plus. So the head of that union and whatever it is, the council, said for more than 98 years, the Walt Disney Company has been synonymous with the words family friendly. And I can think of no other corporation in America history that has been built more squarely on the backs and on the wallets of parents and families. The company's eponymous platform, Disney Plus, logically marketed itself as a family streaming service, and parents have placed their trust in Disney to deliver just that. It seems widely off-brand for Disney Plus to add TV, MA, and R-rated program to this platform, ostensibly to increase subscription revenue. So what comes next? Adding live striptease performances in Fantasyland and Disney World? I didn't write that. That guy must have... Maybe he listens to our podcast. It would, yeah. Slave Leia would definitely be around there.
Here we go again.
Can't get her out of my mind. So what'd you think, Jack? Do you think they have a point?
It's a good point, even though it's kind of exaggerated a bit. The Disney Plus platform isn't really the place for rated R or MA, rated MA shows. Even though I'm glad the Marvel Netflix movies have not gone away forever, I think they work better on a Netflix than a Disney Plus, only because kids honestly should not be watching those. Daredevil, as I've said before, I think is a great show. However, the violence level is much more realistic than you would see on a MCU movie. You know, people punch each other in the movies. However, you don't get that, you know, cracking of jaws, breaking of bones, the sounds of, you know, people truly getting hurt. You know, Hulk hits Thor and you're, you know, you don't hear like, oh my God, you busted my jaw, you know, or you broke something. You don't hear that. However, when Daredevil is like pummeling a street gang, you know, you have the moans and groans of people who've just been seriously injured. Disney Plus is kind of the wrong platform like that. I think parents do put a trust in it because it's labeled as Disney. Whereas Netflix, they know, hey, you know what? There's a lot of content on there I have to watch and make sure my kid watches. But with Disney Plus, it's Disney. Parents are probably a little less lax. Like I said, even though I'm glad those shows are still available, maybe Disney Plus isn't the best platform for them. Maybe they should have left them on Netflix. But what's done is done. Parents have to keep an eye on what their kids are watching. That's what it comes down to.
Well, that's a good point. Fedra.
I agree with a lot of what, you know, Jack just said, and I think that that's first and foremost, that sadly the parents are going to have to do their homework and maybe watch the film or research the film before, you know, plopping their kid in front of the screen and just, you know, turning it on and doing whatever they want to do and just letting the kid just absorb all of that, because that is what they're doing. So, you know, for me, you know, I love a lot of the classics of the Disney films, but as I've obviously grown older and more aware, I see the subliminal messaging even in the classics. But at least in the classics, like Jack just said, it's not more realistic or even dark, you know, showings of even psychological things or physical things. Whereas, you know, I don't know if there's even any studies behind it, but we don't know really what over time of watching these things over and over, what that does to a person's mental health or psyche. I don't know if there's a study out there, but I genuinely agree with Jack that most parents, when they see Disney, they believe that it's going to be kid friendly or kid appropriate. And right now, it looks like Disney is just trying to offer more so that they can justify their premium subscription so that people stay in it and subscribe and stay tuned and offer a variety of things instead of just Disney. And I think that is a terrible way to go.
I think that the problem is that Bob Iger, before this launched, pushed the hell out of the fact that this was going to be a family-friendly streaming service, that there was not going to be any rated R content. I wouldn't say that Daredevil or Jessica Jones is rated R, but it is rated R content, I would say. And I think Jessica Jones is probably the, you know, the most offensive out of all of the shows, if you watch that.
Luke Cage.
Well, there's a lot of suicide in Jessica Jones, and there's a lot of dark stuff going on in there.
Well, in Luke Cage, they get it full on. Him and
Dawson
get it
full on. I watched a few episodes. I didn't realize that.
Well, when you say kid friendly, I mean, I'm thinking of, I can take a 5-year-old, sit them down, and they can watch it. Like, that's what I'm thinking. So what is their rating then of a quote-unquote family-friendly channel?
Well, what they've initiated, though, is that they have parental controls on there so that if your kid is in front of the TV and you put a password in there, they can't access the material. The only problem with that, though, is that kids can get around that. You know, kids are very smart. And yeah. I'm sure if they see their parents do it, they can figure out how to do it. I don't know, though, if kids are really going to do it. Maybe some, but I don't think it's going to be thousands that will disobey their parents or, you know, are dying to see like these things. But I'm just saying they do have a point because they did push the fact that it was family friendly. I don't know if they have a case. I mean, I guess if they wanted to, they might look about some sort of class action suit, but I'm sure Disney has that covered. I'm sure there was like some fine print on there for a year, you know, and a year has gone past. So we did have family friendly stuff for at least a year. I'm okay with it just because I think that I would like to see Logan on there, although I own it and I own the Deadpools and all that. But I think that it should, if it's a streaming service for everything Marvel, I'd like to see Logan on there. I'd like to see the Spider-Man movies on there one day. And just as long as they're all together. I think that a lot of this too reminds me of what Disney does that I hate is there's this whole crap, you know, like when you're watching Dumbo or you're watching Peter Pan or the Swiss Family Robinson, they have to make a statement before that some of these things are considered offensive and racist back then. And it's a, you know, considered offensive and racist now, but we are preserving the, you know, I don't need to read that crap. If you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. I mean, people know if a movie is going to be racist or offensive or sexist or whatever. Most people that have seen those Disney animateds know whether or not to watch it or give them a choice. You want to edit that stuff out, edit it out, make a G+ version of Dumbo. But leave the G version that we've seen and that we love, that most people love there, and don't give us any stupid warning. But that's kind of like how I see it with how some of these parents are complaining about, you know, some of the movies. Just make sure your kids don't watch it. You know, they have a choice whether to watch it or watch or not watch it. Mm-hmm. And you should be there monitoring your kids, like the TV. Although I don't have kids, but I know a lot of friends that have used the TV as a babysitter. You know, they have work to do. They have a life to do. And then sometimes it's kind of hard to watch kids. So they just plop them in front of a TV. They put YouTube on and they go at it. And there's no real restrictions. I don't know what the long-term effect is that, but what are you going to do? This is the modern age. I see the sides of the council, but I also am in favor of seeing some more R-rated material in Disney Plus. Just don't cut out Slave Leia and Return of the Jedi. Thank you. All right, that's it. All right, let's get into round 3 of the Marvel. Well, what are we calling this now? Marvel Movie March Madness. So, you guys ready?
Here we go.
So these are the winners for the last 2 rounds, and they're battling against each other. Okay, here we go.
I think this is where it's going to get rough.
We'll see. We'll see.
Iron Man.
Okay.
Avengers Infinity War.
Come on. Ladies first?
Yeah, ladies first.
Come on. Not an issue. Infinity War. Of course.
Jack?
Infinity War.
Yeah, it's a landslide. Yeah, Iron Man is a good movie, especially, you know, for like being one of the first that kind of issued in the MCU. Robert Downey Jr. was great, but you can't, it can't beat Infinity War. That was a, it was just, I wouldn't say it's a perfect movie, but it's pretty damn close. Let's see here.
Deadpool versus
the Fantastic Four from 2005.
Yep. I'll let Fedra go first, and she's a lady. Deadpool. You can go first all the time, Fedra.
It's Deadpool for sure for me. I did like the Fantastic Four, but there's just a lot going on in Deadpool, and man, as a character, he blew me away with his craziness. So that's what I'm gonna give.
Okay, Jack.
I think I know Jack.
I do know Jack. No, out of these two, I would have to give it to Deadpool.
Really?
Yeah, that would surprise me.
Only for sheer insanity. That you didn't know what was going to come out of his mouth.
Seriously.
when he played off other characters. And even some of the other characters, like Colossus being so straight and narrow, was a great foil for Deadpool. And then you had those crazy moments like when Colossus is fighting Gina Carano and her top comes down. He's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And she's like, oh, that's so sweet. Let me cover up. And then she like slugs him. I mean, stuff like that. It's just an insane movie.
Yes.
And the taxi driver.
And the taxi driver, same thing. You know, you're going to take life advice from someone like Deadpool. Come on. So yeah, for sheer, it goes to Deadpool for sheer insanity.
Yeah, it's another landslide. I go for Deadpool too. Ryan Reynolds' performance as Deadpool was excellent. One of the Woo-hoo! Best performances, you know, comic book accurate, I would say, of a character. Everybody was good in it. I don't think it was the greatest story. It's not something I watch over and over again, but he did such a good job. It's like one of those performances you won't forget, and you'll probably watch it just for that, just to see him get into it. But Jack is right. You know, a lot of the characters interact or that are in the movie are a lot of fun too. We're forgetting Negasonic Teenage Warrior.
She was really good. Me, but, you know.
I liked her. You know, and I liked her even more in the sequel. All right, let's move on here. So, what is this one? I can't see.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 versus Avengers Age of Ultron. That's a toughie.
You, Fedra.
I know.
Really,
you're the lady.
I don't know.
She's got that little pouty face and everything going as she's trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it's not Sophie's choice.
I'm gonna still go with Guardians of the Galaxy. I love the variety in that film where like Age of Ultron is really superhero, villain, everyone band together, you know, type of thing, where I felt like in Guardians of the Galaxy there was humor, there was sadness, there was drama, there was just so much more for me. So I'm going to go with that.
Okay. Jack?
I am going to go with Guardians of the Galaxy 2 as well.
What the heck?
What? No, I mean, I've said,
I'm like so surprised.
How Age of Ultron just didn't make Ultron scary enough because they made him a too jokey kind of a little too Tony Stark-ish. And I understand that's, you know, oh, he was used off the engrams of Tony Stark and everything, but I didn't find Ultron scary. I did like that Ultron actually did supervillain things, like the whole plot of, you know, raising the city and then smashing it down to cause an extinction level event. That's a great supervillain move, but I thought that Ego was a much subtler villain about how he was going around planting these seeds everywhere. And, you know, his goal was to just infect the whole galaxy with his spores or whatever you want to call them. But, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy. Plus, you got to admit, the soundtrack on that was just terrific.
The second one?
Yeah, both of them.
I don't know if I agree with that one. So, I'm going to say Guardians too. Age of Ultron, again, it's the redheaded stepchild of the Avengers movies. It's not a bad movie.
It has a lot of good stuff in it.
But it's probably a lot of people, but it gets a lot of hate I don't think is deserved. My biggest problem, I would say, if I had to point out my biggest problem in the movie, it's the casting of Elizabeth Olsen as Scarlet Witch, because I think she's dreadful. And I think that they just miscast her. I don't know why she was cast. She's just no Scarlet Witch for me. Also, the whole Bruce Banner and Scarlet Witch love thing, not a triangle, unless you include the Hulk. And too many Russians. I know that's a popular thing to say
too
now.
Too many Russians?
Well, Sokovia.
Too like many that, Russians.
That mother and her son, they just popped up a little too much. They were like walking down the street and there's a protest and Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver are there. And, you know, and then Quicksilver saves the little kid. That was annoying to me. That's what Josh Whedon does. He's got this whole Russian family problem. Sorry, Fedra. Well, I know you're not necessarily Russian, but you're...
I'm Slavic, yes.
Slavic. You're Slavic. Yeah. Now, yeah, he's Slavic. So I'm going with Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2. Sorry, Age of Ultron. I still like watching that movie. Next one here. Deja vu.
Guardians of the Galaxy versus Captain Marvel. I mean,
I think we're going to be on the same page with a lot of these.
Yeah. I mean, I like Captain Marvel, but I don't like Captain Marvel that much. I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, for sure.
Jack?
I have to say, I have enjoyed Captain Marvel more times in follow-up viewings. I don't know, I guess over time, Brie Larson seems less abrasive. I don't know. But Guardians of the Galaxy, that was just terrific.
I liked Captain Marvel, but my biggest problem with Captain Marvel was the gender swap between the original Captain Marvel and having Annette Bening. That kind of bothered me. And the Skrulls were good in the movie. I thought she was good. Like I always say, I think she's a good Captain Marvel. I don't like her as a human being, but I think she's a good Captain Marvel. But I wouldn't say it's necessarily a movie that I'd want to watch over and over again, which is kind of the proof in the pudding that I've never seen it a second time. So I really should. There's a part of me that should. But yeah, I going with Guardians of the Galaxy. That still, for me, might be my number one movie in the MCU. It just kind of blew me away that they, you know, basically got like these know-nothing superheroes and everybody was talking about them. And I think it was Visitor released around the same time as Batman v Superman. It was something that DC had released that everybody was talking about Guardians. Or maybe DC was like, how come this movie made so much money and everybody likes it and we can't get Batman or Superman right? You know, it really kind of pissed them off. And it's true. You know, it's, you know, you would think that they own all of their superheroes, Warner Brothers, the Trinity, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, that you could not put a good movie together. And these freaks, basically, that most people have never heard of, just won the hearts of everybody that's seen it. I don't know anybody that's seen it and said, nah, it wasn't my cup of tea. I don't think I'd ever want to see it again. Not interested in the sequel. No, it was good. It was perfect cast, perfect writing, perfect direction. Great music. Better music than the second one, guys. I'm sorry. I'll veto you on that one.
Both of them had great soundtracks. Absolutely.
Agreed with Jack.
All right. What's this one here?
Endgame versus. This is unfair to anything coming up now. Civil War.
Whew. Come on. It's
Endgame. Come on. Yeah.
It's Endgame. No question. No thought needed.
Jack?
Although I love me Civil War, Endgame. There's just, so even though it was cool to see the superheroes fight in Civil War, you can't compare everything in the kitchen sink exploding on screen like Endgame.
I thought Endgame was an inferior movie to Infinity War. I thought it dragged a lot with the whole time travel stuff. I didn't like the way that worked. I hated the ending with Captain America leaving, and probably, you know, it had like one of those Lord of the Rings, the Return of the King kind of endings. It went on too long. The battle was really cool, but so was the battle in Civil War too. Oh, it's tough for me. I'll be honest with you. This is a lot tougher for me than you guys, because I'm really not a huge fan of Endgame other than the battle. But I can't put all of...
It's easy because you're outvoted. Bum, bum.
I want to tell you how
I feel. I know. I'm just
messing. I'm not going to base a movie on Captain America lifting Mjolnir, where Civil War introduced Black Panther, introduced Spider-Man, had a decent story. It wasn't the Civil War from the comics, but it still was pretty good. They had a great fight at the end too, with Captain America, Iron Man, and Winter Soldier. So you know what? Screw you guys. I'm going with Civil War. But I'll give you Endgame since I'm outvoted.
Thank you.
I actually wrote from my review for No Way Home on the site. I said it's the Endgame of Spider-Man movies. And that was a hidden message for people.
Okay.
The Eternals.
Versus?
Ant-Man. All right, guys. I mean, you should know by now. I will choose Ant-Man over Eternals any day of the week. It's just so much more creative. In my opinion, the cast was actually better. Especially there was few in the cast, not, you know, 30 people and their cousins and siblings. So that's me.
Okay, Jack.
While the Eternals has had that huge epic feel, Ant-Man was much more fun with a smaller story. And I got to say, I thought the yellow jacket suit was very cool as well. Paul Rudd was funny. Michael Peña was hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go with Ant-Man.
No, the cast for Ant-Man was great. They were all good actors, great comedians. The Eternals I watched recently, I liked it a little better. I hate Ant-Man, though. I just hate the character. It's a movie that I really don't want to see again. I don't want to see Ant-Man and the Wasp again. Like I said, I can't believe the damn series is getting a trilogy. Doesn't deserve it, as far as I'm concerned. But I'll have to go with Ant-Man because The Eternals really isn't rewatchable. Well, I just said the Ant-Man isn't either, but at least I had fun with Ant-Man for a while, you know? And I may not like Ant-Man, but there's so many other characters in Eternals that I don't like. So, all right, here we go.
Okay.
Spider-Man No Way Home.
No Way Home.
No Way Home.
Captain America, the First Avenger.
I think this is an easy one for two of us.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I know where it's going to go.
Captain America, hands down. Sorry, Tom Holland.
And honestly, I do have to say, Captain America, the First Avengers is a fully complete movie that can stand alone better than No Way Home. So yes, I will go along with Captain America, the First Avenger.
Chris Evans was great in that movie.
The whole movie, the way they worked Captain America's origin in, fleshed it out a bit. Tommy Lee Jones was great in it. Chris Evans, of course, was great. Haley Atwell was terrific. I mean, but even the Red Skull as the villain, they worked him into something a little bit more than just a...
He was underused.
Nazi.
I felt he could have had more screen time. But no, I'm saying
I gotta go with First Avenger.
You know, I was saying Chris Evans, he had a lot to do because if he didn't pull off this character, same thing on Robert Downey Jr., we would probably wouldn't have had an MCU if those two movies failed. And he really kind of got the character. He didn't look like the character to me. Because to me, Captain America or Steve Rogers got really blonde hair. But he's got the soul of him, you know, like where he is a good guy. You know, like he can't be bought. He can't be swayed by money or women or fame. You know, he's just deep down, he's a good guy. And that just worked for me. Spider-Man No Way Home. I'm sorry. It's a mess. It's probably, after watching it for a third time, it's around there with Far From Home. Far From Home is like one of my worst movies. Really upsets me that this movie has made so much money because it's all just icing and no cake. It's the icing is the three Spider-Mans together on the screen with their stupid masks off. And, the horrible acting of all the villains. And when I say all the villains, I mean all the villains. Doc Ock, Willem Dafoe is Green Goblin, especially Jamie Foxx. He's horrible in this one. They're all horrible. They are all horrible. Everybody in this movie is horrible.
They are not horrible.
Maybe I would say probably the one saving grace in this movie is Tobey Maguire. That's it. J. Jonah Jameson, horrible. What happened to him? All right, you're going in the garbage. Die, die, die. Oh, I almost put Spider-Man No Way Home in the wrong place. My goodness. I would have died. I would have grayed by next week. Okay, here's our last ones. That's that one.
Thor.
Versus.
Thor Ragnarok. Man, both were really good. I think I'm going to go with Ragnarok.
I was going to say, one of you guys better pick it right.
Well, geez, no pressure.
Well, now there's all the pressure's on Jack.
All the pressure is on Jack. Well, while I loved Ragnarok, the first Thor movie falls in like Captain America, the First Avenger. Mm-hmm. I think that is such a great contained story. It's nice and tight. There was a lot of fun in it, a lot of great moments. We saw a lot of character growth in it. I wish Kenneth Branagh had come back and directed The Dark World. The first Thor is one of my top three MCU movies consistently. So I got to go with the first Thor.
Yeah, I will say my problem with the first Thor is I didn't like that it took most of it took place in New Mexico. Like, it's kind of like very deserty. I wish it would have taken place in the city, like not necessarily Manhattan, but I think it would be more fun for him to be like lost in, you know, this brave new world. It seemed like he didn't have much to do in New Mexico. Like, there was a coffee shop and there was a music store, and that was about it, you know, for miles and miles and miles.
Yeah, but if you put him into the big city, you would have taken away from some of the smaller character moments, which is what I think really made the movie.
I disagree with that personally. Okay. No, but Thor, you know, like I said, like with Iron Man and Captain America, they cast the perfect Thor, and you really had to sell this one. It's like you had two home runs. I forget, well, you know, what movies had come out at that point. I know it was The Incredible Hulk, and which, again, that's kind of iffy. They say it's part of the MCU, but they weren't making the MCU when they made The Incredible Hulk. But they're like, well, we'll pull him in anyway. You know, he's a nice guy. But I think Iron Man 2 was out at that point. But they had, you know, Captain America, Thor. And they hit another home run with Thor, I thought, anyway. Because Thor is hard to get. I mean, I love him as a character. I love him more when he's on a team. But I did like his comics, too. But I preferred him more when he was on a team. And they kind of made him a lot different than the comic book character, where I felt he was more fun. You know, like, Thor, I thought in the comic books, was more serious. You know, he was a god and all that. But this guy, you got to see, you know, he was a fun-loving god, basically, or a demigod. They also introduced Loki, who was one of the best villains we ever had in the MCU, until they ruined him in his own series. But he was so good. I mean, they brought him back for Avengers. You know, he was the villain, because when you think about it, Iron Man. Who was the guy they had in Iron Man? Who was the villain?
The Mandarin.
He was Russian.
Not the Mandarin.
Yeah, Whiplash Russian. In Iron Man 2.
Yeah. No, that's Iron Man 2. Iron Man 1. You know, Jeff Bridges' character. I can't think of his name.
The Iron Monger. What's his name?
But my point is he was forgettable. He was all right, but, you know, again, we don't really remember the character much. And then Captain America. Like I said, I think the Red Skull was underused. You know, but Loki just was on a completely different level compared to those three. Ragnarok, you know, it had the Hulk. It was a lot more fun. It was a lot more lighthearted. I enjoyed the movie, but it can't compete with Thor. I'm not going to say that Loki was a bad movie. I mean, I'm sorry, Ragnarok was a bad movie. It was, but yeah, it's just a tough one. But I'm going to go with Thor. So that's it, folks. So we got all Thor. Right. We got Avengers Infinity War. We got Guardians of the Galaxy. We've got Captain America Civil War. We have Avengers Endgame. We have Ant-Man. We have Deadpool. And we have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. That's going into the next round.
Into the Super 8.
Man, I can't wait for this to be over so I can eat cereal again. Keep putting them in my bowl.
That's funny.
And I'd say you'd be surprised. I've broken a lot of bowls. All right. Let's wrap this one up. So, Jack, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can find me at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And Fedra, my dear.
You can be my friend on Facebook, or you can follow me on the gram. And if you're, you know, a traditionalist, you can email me at fedra@wdwnt.com.
And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. And check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney and Universal news. And please visit the Carousel of Products. And finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and would like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 8, Episode 14. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all, and be good to each other.
Good night, everyone.